welcome to Original Lines, where we talk with original people with original ideas about the creative life. I'm your host, Laura Allen, and today we'll be talking with Seattle painter Robin Siegel. Robin is an oil painter who focuses mainly on industrial waterway scenes. Her semi-abstracted waterfront compositions are bold and textural. Welcome, Robin, and thanks for inviting us into your studio.
Thank you. Happy to be talking to you.
Okay, well, how did you get started painting? Have you always painted?
I've always made art my whole life. I can't remember when I didn't make art. My parents signed me up for art classes at the art museum wherever we lived. I've always doodled and drawn. I've always made all sorts of things. I cook, I sew, I knit, I draw. And I never, ever thought that I could be an oil painter. Somehow getting to the point of using oils to make a painting was too daunting for me. I thought I wouldn't be good enough. It would be too expensive. I didn't really understand the medium. All sorts of reasons why I just stopped short of that. And then in about 2006, I was painting plein air with a friend of mine who I met in art school many years ago at the University of Washington. And she's been an oil painter for a long, long time, a good one. And I was working in watercolor and charcoal combined, which was interesting, had interesting results, but I was sort of struggling that day. I complained to her about how things weren't going well, and she said, "You have to stop that. You need to be painting in oils." And I said, "Oh, I can't. I won't. I don't have any, you know." And she said, "Wait a minute. I was working on gessoed paper for my work." She said, "I have brushes. I have paint right here. You have gessoed paper. Do something." She just thrust a brush in my hand, and I took it up and did this little, you know, hesitant landscapey thing. And I really liked it. It was like a moment in my life. Wow, maybe I could do this. We were in Portland at the time for a weekend, and I came back to Seattle, signed up for two beginning oil painting classes, one at Gage and one at Pratt, because I didn't know about the medium. I didn't know how to about solvents, about brushes, about grounds. I didn't know anything. The two classes were wonderful. And during the time I was taking the classes, I was also painting, starting to paint at home. And it was, the floodgates had opened. I was so happy to have been literally pushed into that. So
yeah,
that's how it started. And I haven't stopped painting in oils since. I've done big work. Makes me very happy to do it. I'm going to do this until I drop.
Well, some of your work is very big, like upward of 4 and 5 feet on an edge, right?
Is that 4 by 5 feet is the largest painting I've ever done. That's a lot of territory to cover with oil paint.
Yeah.
I'm impressed. I haven't done very many of those, but it's good.
Well, I'm sitting here in your studio right now, and I mean, you're working on, looks like you're working on, is that going to be a diptych?
It is, and I'm repairing it. I actually did that a couple of years ago, but it's gotten scratched and bunged up, and I also have some different ideas about how it might look. That's the other thing about oil paint. You know, you can go back. When is it done? When is it finished? Not done, finished. You know, it could be now. It could be 2 years from now. You can always work on them.
Yeah, people tend to think of, you know, oil paintings as these, like, fragile, but these things last
not at all.
Thousands of years.
Not at all. Yeah.
It's very, very tough once it oxidizes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I've also read, and I haven't actually talked to you about this, but I've read that you actually take a rowboat out to sometimes to actually look at the...
I do.
To look at these ships up close. I mean, your paintings often have these monumental sort of viewpoints, like from
the
lower,
water,
yes, upward up these giant shipping ships. How did you decide to do that? I mean,
well,
just an idea?
My husband and I have a 14-foot rowboat. It's called the Cosine Wherry. It's a stable, sturdy, 14-foot long rowboat with two rowing stations, and we've been rowing for much longer than I've been oil painting. We spend time in the waterways all around Seattle and other places. We take it places. It's a wonderful way to see the world. And my favorite place to row is the Duwamish, because it's always changing. It's full of industrial ships, and there's a lot of work goes on down there, concrete factories, metal crushing businesses, and it's very interesting. Mm-hmm. So we've been rowing for years. And in the Duwamish in particular, when we're pulling up against a rusty, decrepit hull of a ship or barge, it always looked so beautiful to me. The colors, the textures, the power of the shapes. So when I started painting, quite by surprise, after my friend Susan had said, here, take these brushes and give it a try, uh-huh. I thought, oh, let's see, I really like this. Now, what am I going to paint? Oh, yeah, I could paint what I see on the waterfront. It's so beautiful. So that's what I started doing.
Mm-hmm. Do you do plein air? I mean, do you go out with sketches or do you?
I sketch from the boat. I take color notes and shape notes in the boat. Mm-hmm. Many people ask me if I paint in the boat, and I think, in a rowboat, I'd make a 4x5 foot oil painting. I don't think that would work. No, I don't work in the boat. Lots of photographs that I use for reference for all of those things. The reflections in the water are elusive, mm-hmm. so I look at the photographs and think about that, look at the shapes, but do all the work in the studio.
Okay. I expect as much time as you, sounds like you spent out there looking at these things. You have quite an internal vocabulary
I feel real comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I went plein air painting in Central Oregon with a friend, very good painter, Melinda Hannigan. And we were painting, the wind was blowing, my easel blew over at one point, even though it was weighted, and she brushed off her hands, said, I'm finished with this, plein air painting is completely overrated. I totally agree with her, haven't been outside since.
But about the only thing
it's too darn hard.
About the only thing I do is take watercolor, I do like sketching, you know, a sketch journal out to the woods.
I can do that.
Yeah. So let me ask you, do you know any of the people in the waterfront? Do they recognize you? Do people kind of recognize you coming? It's the artist, or are there enough boats and things around that you don't really?
No, they don't, because we have a ritual of rowing on Sunday morning. The Duwamish in particular is very noisy during the week. There's a lot of machines going and mm-hmm. things. I don't know about the boat traffic, which doesn't really bother us, but it's very noisy and industrial sounding, and what I prefer is the quiet of Sunday morning and all of that beauty that's kind of still. So, mm-hmm. Nobody recognizes us. Nobody
okay.
sees
that's
us.
Good. Anonymity can be very good.
Yeah, yeah. A couple of years ago, we were rowing. We put the boat in at the boat ramp on Alki, mm-hmm. and we were rowing out to, the point and back. Mm-hmm. And a couple of weeks later, a friend of mine sent me a copy of the, you live in West Seattle, right? The newspaper uh-huh. they have there. And there was a picture of me and Zev rowing our boat, and someone had been standing on the bulkhead and took a picture of us. And there was a caption about, here's someone seizing the carpe diem in the rowboat.
West Seattle is still a very small town, regardless of all of the people coming. We know, everybody knows what's going on at all times.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. Do you feel like you have a boundary? Was there a boundary between you became a professional painter and before when you were, or have you always like attempted to sell or do this, or was there a transition? Does it really feel differently at all?
I never did work with an idea that it would sell before mm-hmm. I was just doodling. I did a lot. There was a lot. I took classes. I made a lot of artwork, but it was just something that I enjoyed doing. I still enjoy doing it. Now that I'm making big paintings, I don't want to have to store. I don't want to stop. I don't want to store the work in large quantity. Part of what makes it pleasurable for me is having people respond to it. I like exhibiting my work and having conversations about it. I like selling it. I want it to go to good homes. I want it to be in places where people appreciate it and see it differently than I see it. Mm-hmm. It's an important part of the making of the work to me. I don't feel like I'm making work to sell. Mm-hmm. I don't start out thinking, well, what color should I make this painting, or what palette should I use so that it will be attractive to someone with a checkbook? Mm-hmm. If it happens, that's great. But part of that is people have asked me to do commissions from time to time, and that makes me very nervous, and I freeze up and can't think of what to paint. So the deal now that works well for everybody is that usually people ask for a painting based on a size. I am all for that. I'm not interested in making a painting that works with your sofa colors or your your wall colors. But if someone wants a painting of a size that I don't have, I'm happy to make the painting. And we talk about what they like and don't like, and I consider all of that, but I make a painting that makes me happy. If they like it in the end, I'm happy to sell it to them. If they don't, I'm happy to keep it. So, and that works well. I don't freeze up in that situation. So, and all of those commissions that I've been asked to do have actually wound up in sales. So, good. Mm-hmm. Works for everybody.
Good. Yeah. Good. Well, you talk a lot about, and I like to hear it, you talk a lot about the pleasure that you take, the joy. So it's just the joy that you get from creating these things. And is that a solid thread, like, from the other things that you've made?
I like making things. Just the other day, I took my favorite pair of sandals, completely worn out on the bottom, still serviceable on the top, to a shoe repair place. The place smelled of leather. It was filled with shoes, floor to ceiling, sewing machines humming in the background. People are they're going to put my sandals back together for me. They're making them with their hands, and I love that. And I realized when I dropped the sandals off, it doesn't happen so much anymore. People don't know how to make things, and that makes me panicked. If I couldn't make things, I'd be very unhappy. It's a way of communicating for me. I have never been comfortable really with words. Here I am talking, but words are not how I express myself best. And I think that's true of lots of artists. But making things is a way to make a mark on the world, make an impression that people can see. It's something that I've made, and it's an expression of what I'm thinking and feeling. So, yeah, communication through art.
Let me ask you this. I know you've had multiple shows, and I know I've seen you here at the Open Studio here at their studio building. Do you feel odd when it's not when people try to forefront you instead of the paintings?
What do you mean?
If people come in and they talk to you, some artists kind of feel like their paintings are the things that stand between them and the world. Whereas writers, a lot of times, it's this communication direct thing where they want to talk or whatever. But painters, it's like, okay, here's this painting I've made. It's an interpretation. It's part of me. But look at this. I am in the background. How do you feel?
I think it's difficult for people to come into open studios for lots of reasons. Mm-hmm. Unless they are artists or have done it a lot and understand how it works. People will walk by the door and I can see, you know, they peek in. They don't want to get trapped, and they don't want to come into a studio where they don't like the work. So they peek in, make a quick assessment of whether it's going to be okay or not, and move on or come in. Uh-huh. My goal is just to make them feel comfortable. If they want to look at the painting and not talk to me, that's fine. If they want to talk to me and they're not sure about the painting, that's fine too. I just consider it a success if they walk through the door and expose themselves to something they may not be familiar with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hope I make it easy for people. When I go to open studios, I do the same thing. Glance in the door. Don't want to go in there.
Yep. There are a lot of things to look at, and you can only look at so many.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You've just recently been back from recently been to a residency in Willapa Bay. Is that's in Oregon?
It is on the Long Beach Peninsula in Washington.
In Washington.
The very southwest corner of Washington.
Okay.
A little piece of heaven down there.
Oh.
Yeah.
So just how could you describe a little bit of that to me? Like, how does a month-long residency work?
Well, I think they work differently. I'm not sure how much you can say about a residency that would apply to all of them. I've only been to this one. Mm-hmm. The five other artists at this residency in June had all been to at least one other one. So there was quite a bit of conversation comparing them. I learned quite a bit about that. I also learned that I was at one that was extraordinarily fabulous. Sometimes they are totally supported with living, working space, food, and everything you could need, which was certainly the case here. Mm-hmm. Other times, a residency can give you a space to work and a stipend for food. There's more or less interaction among the artists at the residency. I don't really know about those, but this one was really a true gift of a large chunk of time, a whole month. I had no responsibilities of any kind. I hardly had anything there. Well, I had a lot of art supplies for my beautiful studio that was my own with a sink in it. First time I've ever had a sink in a studio. I thought, this is it. I've won the lottery. I had a little cabin. I had a few clothes. There was a resident chef, extraordinarily competent, and was a property manager there, took care of all the details, and there was no obligation of any kind. I was there completely separate from all of the rest of my life. I could work at my own pace or not work. Mm-hmm. After I was accepted and before I went, I was talking to the operations manager there, and I said something to him about how I had made, or I was working on a plan, because a month seemed so long to me, that I was working on a plan to break it into manageable sections where I could be very productive. And he said, oh, you might not understand. We don't care if you produce anything or not. What we're giving you is time to consider your career as an artist, and you can do anything with that time that you want to. And I was just stunned.
Wow.
But then what that made me want to do is produce even more. Like, wait.
That's what I want to do as an artist.
Yeah. So it was really completely dreamy. I think it's unusual for any adult to be given that gift. I felt like I was literally taken from my life, which is full, and I drive myself a little crazy. It's, you know, there's some stress, there's stuff going on, and I was removed from all of that and totally supported and appreciated for a month. The artists there are made to feel very important. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. And I think I know it's affecting the rest of my life, the way I approach things, the way I think about myself, the way I, you know, put myself in the world is different now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try and maintain that. It's good.
How does solitude normally play a part in your, because it sounds like there was, it was a place for a type of solitude that's
very
hard
much.
To get.
Very difficult. The place I find the most solitude in my life is here in my studio.
Really?
Yes. I spend a lot of time alone here. Mm-hmm. I'm good with that. That was a whole month of solitude. Well, we had fabulous, interesting dinner every single night provided by the chef with quite heady conversation. There were two visual artists, two writers, a poet, and a composer. Oh. So different disciplines, and the conversation was really intense and wonderful.
But on the solitude thing, is it something now that you're back from Willapa Bay that you're gonna, are you trying to recreate that in any way? Or does your studio time feel
you can't
more?
Recreate that.
Okay.
That was heavenly. I felt like I wasn't on planet Earth. Mm. But that's okay. I took a lot of lessons from that. And now, what did you ask about the studio?
The solitude in the studio. Has it kind of changed your feeling of solitude in the studio? Or is it?
No.
No?
I like this. This is my sanctuary here. Mm. I love being able to come here. Because I'm not very disciplined. So if I worked at home, there'd be, let's see, what would there be? Laundry or the dishes in the sink or, you know, or the sofa that I could have a nap on or, you know, no. Yeah. I just like coming here. This one purpose here is to make work. I like that.
So do you have any projects going on now? Are you working on any big commissions or a show or anything?
I'm not. I had a show in the month of April at Core Gallery in mm-hmm. Pioneer Square. That was a big push to get work ready for that. Then I had the residency. And now I feel like I'm starting again. I don't have anything coming up. Mm-hmm. So, and that's fine with me. I'm starting anew here.
Well, do you think after back the residency, do you think that it will change your work in any way?
I do. The other visual artist was very interesting to me. Her approach to work was different than mine, and I learned a lot from her just in terms of how to consider what you're doing. So I've been thinking a lot about that. I made lots of notes. I did little sketches about what I would be doing here back in the studio. So mm-hmm. We'll see how that turns out. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into a rut. I want to keep my work fresh. I continue to draw on the industrial waterfront. Several years ago, a friend who's a very fine artist looked at my work and he said, how long are you going to keep painting this stuff? And I thought, ooh, wait, you know, I don't want, he may see it as a repeat. I look at my work and see an evolution that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. And there's so much to be inspired by on the waterfront that I think that will continue to be the anchor uh-huh. of my inspiration. But, you know, I will see it in different ways now.
How has your creativity fit with the other parts of your life? Has it been a challenge for you to fit with your marriage, with your family life, with your social life? Or has your creativity and everything, has it always been a good fit? Has everything always just meshed and everybody knew you as the creative one? Or do you have any?
Well, I don't know about the word creative. People have said to me, oh, you're so creative. I don't know what that means. I have never had any trouble making this fit into my life, what I make. If it's food or clothing or a drawing or a painting, it's real important to me. And so, yeah, it fits. It fits fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sounds like you may have either surrounded yourself either by luck or by design with people who support that and who respect that.
Well, my family certainly does. My husband is more than supportive. I need a new word for that. He is... thrilled about my work, very interested in it, and he participates in a couple of ways. One is first inadvertently in the rowboat, you know, when we started rowing, we didn't know it would turn into such an important part of what I do. And then he makes the panels that I paint on, which are beautiful. He makes them exactly the size I want, beautifully, and then I cover them with canvas. I like to paint on canvas, but I don't like the bounce of canvas that a lot of artists really do like. Mm-hmm. I like a solid surface, so this gives me both. He makes those to order mm-hmm. whenever I need them, and it is a wonderful benefit to me. Also, he's supportive because one of the benefits of being an artist for me that I had no way of knowing would happen is the incredibly wonderful group of new friends. I have met people and become close to people I would never have met. I would never have met you, probably.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And those acquaintances have turned some into deep friendships. Our social life has expanded exponentially. Mm-hmm. And we go to openings and museums and galleries and things and that never would have been a part of our life in the same way. So he loves that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's good. It sounds like he also is... when I use the word creativity, I have people who like to make things. I know creativity has such a... It has so many... It's been used and misused and misapplied. You know, it's just like...
Yeah.
There's some... When you say it, you almost... It's got to be a different word. Yeah. You almost want to cringe, but... I think that's that I love to see that in people. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm doing this is because I really love when people get that like spark of they're talking about that, how they, the thing they're making, they're pulling it out of themselves. And it's
very satisfying. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I think it is the same satisfaction to make, a fabulous oil painting that's exhibited in a fine museum as it is to make a sweatshirt with glitter glue, you know, it's the same feeling of satisfaction for the person who's doing it. Yeah, making something. Very important.
Yes. Let me ask you, do you find when you make things, do you have a limited supply? Or does it...
Not of art materials. I'd open a store here. That'll be my next thing.
I'm looking around her studio. It's actually one of the neater studios I've seen.
Well, it's neat, but in all those drawers and those boxes, there's stuff.
Yep. But I kind of mean more, not so much supplies, but do you have a limited amount of, we'll use the word creativity, is there a limited amount of energy to put toward creative projects?
Well,
or
I don't want to say yes, but yes is the answer. Every day in the studio is not a good productive day. Mm-hmm. I have come here many times and I leave, with things in worse condition than when I came in, not when I sew. I have disasters, it's not always good, but I always have the energy to keep working on it. Mm-hmm. It's just not always applied in a productive way, I guess.
Does that, do different creative projects kind of feed into one another? Like, let's say you've gone a real role with the studio, then do you go, are you that much more creative with sewing or with cooking or whatever? Is it just a creative aura, or do you end up spending
all my eggs in one basket and move the baskets around, or the eggs, what is it there? Eggs to the different baskets. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, bad. That was bad. You get the idea.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think for different people, it tends to come. There's times when I'm just like, I can't stop making things. And if I have to stop work, because I just have to stop, I've been doing it for 8 hours and I have to go, out of the studio, whatever, then I'm going to be making something else. It's just kind of switches.
Yeah, I get kind of worn out. Mm-hmm. If I have a really good day making whatever it is, I don't often have at the end of that chunk of time energy to then devote to another kind of making.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What do you think feeds that energy? Is there anything specific that you found that...
Oh, it's the results.
Ah.
Yeah, it's like, wow, look at that. What a great color.
Mm-hmm.
Or, gee, the sleeve fit. Or, whatever it is. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so then that adds then to the energy. Okay.
Yeah. And with the artwork, what really adds to it is a response from people outside. People who don't know what went into it. If anyone, good and bad comments really help me. Mm-hmm. I want feedback. I want dialogue. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do this by myself for myself. That's not enough for me.
All right. Well, Robin, thank you so much for talking with us today.
It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. How can people, if people want to find your work and see more, what can they do?
Well, I have a website, robinsiegel.com. Spelling my name is important. It's robinsiegel.com. Always misspelled.
Yes.
I have work at the Seattle Art Museum Gallery, and I have work in exhibits from time to time, which would be noted on the website.
Okay. Well, again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura. It's been fun.
And that's it for today's episode of Original Lines. I'm your host, Laura Allen, and this has been a production of Two Ponies Press. You can find us online at www.twoponiespress.com. or on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. For the latest, be sure to like and subscribe. See you next time.